It's hard to believe, but our baby girl Rayleigh just turned 11 years old last month. It's hard to believe because time really does scream by. But more than that, we weren't sure if Rayleigh was going to make it at all. She was born on Friday, October 23rd, 2009, and everything was right with her world and with ours until that Friday. The doc came in to perform one last exam just to make sure she was ready for delivery and told us that Rayleigh had turned and now she was breech. Plans had changed. Now he was going to have to deliver her by C-section. I really didn't know what all that involved, but he assured me and Andrea that this was a routine procedure. Everything is going to be fine. Nothing to be afraid of. But I went ahead and updated my social media and told everybody that we're going to go in for an unexpected emergency C-section. Immediately, I got comments and posts back that, oh, that's fine, nothing, no big deal. I had 17 kids through C-section. Everything's going to be fine. So, okay, we're going to be all right. I heard the doctor turn to a nurse and say, 10:30, start. And the mood was light in the room. It was October, so it was football season. The anesthesiologist and I were talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes because that's what you do in October. Sorry, lovely. Within a couple minutes, Rayleigh stretched out her left arm, and I told Andrea because she could not see. I said, hey, baby, we've got an arm. We've got an arm. I see your arm. And that's all we saw for a while. Rayleigh was laying in a very difficult, precarious, I double dog dare you to try to come in here and get me out of here position. And I watched as the doctor pulled and tugged, and it looked like his arm was going to come out of Andrea's mouth. He had tried to reach up inside of her chest cavity to pull Rayleigh out, and she did not move. All we had for several minutes was an arm. Something was really wrong, and we didn't know what, and we didn't know what was going to happen. But you will, right after this. You're listening to LJ Harry, and you're listening to It's Friday, But Wednesday's Coming on Simplify. I could tell things were getting tense. I was getting nervous, scared. The doctor was even getting frantic. He had been so even keel, laid back, very calm throughout the whole process. But the doctor turned to a nurse and curtly and flatly said, call a pediatrician. Call a pediatrician. And after what seemed like hours, but was really just a couple of minutes, Rayleigh was born. I told Andrea, she's here, baby. Our daughter's been born. She's here. Then I watched as the nurses rushed our surprisingly quiet baby girl over to the table, and I heard one nurse ask another, do we have a heart rate? And the other nurse just shook her head. My heart fell when I realized our baby girl doesn't have a heart rate. Andrea could tell something was wrong. Again, she couldn't see what was happening. So I touched her on the shoulder, and through tear-streaked eyes, I said, baby, we need to pray. And right there in the delivery room with the doctors and nurses and anesthesiologists and everybody around, I prayed, God, please touch our baby. God, please let our baby live. It was not a polished prayer, but it was sincere from my heart. And in a few seconds, we heard the nurse exclaim, we've got a heart rate. We have a heart rate. And then we heard Rayleigh cry. We were excited. Now that she was breathing, everything was right, except her left arm. It was black and blue. It was bruised. It was lifeless at her side. It didn't move at all. And we were all afraid something was broken. So after they x-rayed her arm, they called Children's Hospital, and Children's Hospital came and whisked her away from us and took her to Children's that night. And once again, I updated my social media with every development and every update, and each time I checked my social media and my email, I had 40 to 50 new posts telling me that people were praying, and they were with us, and they were for us. The very next day, my dad and niece went with me to Children's to learn about our baby, what was wrong, what had happened. And when we got there, there was a team of doctors and nurses looking at her, and they told us that the nerves that were leading from the neck to the shoulder had been damaged. And they didn't know how much they had been damaged, how deeply, if they would heal, and if so, how long it would take. And so, being a father, a preacher, not a doctor, I asked them, can we do a nerve x-ray? And they just looked at me like, oh, you poor, pitiful dad. But they told me, best case scenario, her arm is going to be okay in a few weeks. It's going to take a while, but she's going to be okay. Worst case scenario, she will never have the use of her left arm. She'll just have her right. So another social media update. Scores of more prayers came pouring in. And then Monday came when I met the physical therapist. When I walked into the NICU on that Monday, I saw the physical therapist, and she was looking at Rayleigh, looking her over. She had a full sheet of paper explaining exercises and therapies that Rayleigh would have to do for the first several weeks just to restore the use of her arm if it could be restored. And she showed me, you're going to have to take her arm and you're going to have to put it over her chest for a little while, swaddle her, keep it that way, and then put it at her side for a few weeks, swaddle her, keep it that way. And so I'm taking all of this in and looking at the sheet and making sure I know what I'm supposed to do so I can make sure our daughter has the best shot at having both arms. And then she unwrapped her blanket and her swaddle, and her jaw dropped 3 floors down the hospital as Rayleigh moved her left arm just as easily and freely as she did her right arm. The therapist nearly got Pentecostal. She pointed at Rayleigh and she said, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. She's already doing it. She's already doing it. The exercises, the therapies, all that on the sheet. And she started checking the boxes. She's got this. She's doing that. She's doing that. She's doing that. And she said, it's amazing. She's already doing what she's supposed to do after all of these weeks of therapy. She was amazed. And I told her that we've got over 200 messages that friends and family are praying for Rayleigh. And I believe God touched Rayleigh. What she was seeing was the power of God in action. 2 days later, on a Wednesday, we packed up our things from the Ronald McDonald House and we went into the NICU. We got our baby girl and we took her home. I still cringe when I think of the sadness and the uncertainty we felt on that Friday. When I heard the nurses ask each other if she had a heart rate and they just shook their heads, I cringe to think of how different it could have been without the grace and the goodness of God on that Friday. But then I smile when I think of his healing touch, and when I think of his goodness, and I think of his grace that sent us home as early as Wednesday because he touched our baby girl. For those of you listeners who are living in Friday, Friday could look like a lot of things. It could look like a divorce, a car accident, a job loss or layoff. Friday could look like a disease diagnosis or burying somebody you loved then lost. Friday could look like all kinds of crises and tragedies. So for those of you who are living in Friday, let me tell you from experience, you will not live there forever. It may be Friday now, but as I can testify, Wednesday's coming. Don't let Friday steal your faith or blind you to what God is able and willing to do for you. Don't lose heart, don't lose hope, don't lose faith. It may be Friday, but Wednesday's coming. Let's pray that God would help, especially those of you who are living in Friday, that God would help you to trust him, to keep your faith in him, and believe that Wednesday is coming. Jesus, I thank you. You are faithful, especially in times like these. In times of tragedy and crisis, you are faithful. In times of loss, you are faithful. In times life doesn't go like we hoped or thought, you are faithful. I ask you to help every one of these listeners. Help every man and lady, every young man, every young lady, every child who's listening to this podcast, help them to have faith. Help them to trust you. Help every one of us, God, to put all of our hope and faith in you. You will not let us down. I ask you, Lord, give us strength to believe and give us faith today. And we give you praise and thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope this episode's blessed you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for making Simplify part of your devotional life. It cannot replace your prayer life or your Bible reading, but it can augment and accent your devotional life and help you to draw closer to God. Thank you for allowing it to do that. Speaking of thank you to all of those who have been downloading and listening to Simplify. We are so close. We're just a few ballots short. I'm sorry, too soon? We are just a few downloads short of 40,000 downloads since Simplify launched. Thank you so much for all of those who have made this part of your walk with God. It's an honor to get to be a part of that. And I want to thank you and encourage you, continue to listen and share Simplify with others as we continue to walk closer to Jesus. Next week, I want to share with you a devotion called Unlikely Heroes. It's probably likely when you look in the mirror, you don't see a superhero. And that's okay. God doesn't need superheroes. He just needs people who are willing to do what he's called us to do. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with you next week. And always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.